Part 3 U.S. Presidents Grover Cleveland, 22nd and 24th President of the United States was a very popular president, a Bourbon Democrat who was pro-business and promoted old-fashioned ideals. Both of these issues were popular in America because it meant jobs, security, and an ideology that most Americans could understand and relate to. His pro-business stance would injure that popularity when he intervened in the railroad strikes against the unions. To further counter his and the Democratic Party's popularity in America, the European royal and elite orchestrated the Great Economic Panic of 1893, which Cleveland could not recover from. During his administration in 1878, the European royal and elite helped to usher in the American Bar Association, a lawyers' union loyal to the Queen of England, which was unknown to the American public. Participation and membership in the union was initially on a voluntary basis, and as it grew in strength, its participation would become mandatory. The American Bar Association would eventually prove to be a terrorist organization and one of the most corrupt influences to affect America and the American way of life, which will be discussed at the end of Part 3. William McKinley, 25th President of the United States, was a strong personality and not a team player to the European royal and elite. He promoted the 1897 Dingley Tariff to protect American manufacturers and factory workers from foreign competition, and in 1900, he secured the passage of the Gold Standard Act, which resulted in a rapid economic growth in America. This angered the high contracting powers, and their response was to instigate a conflict between Spain and Cuba, into which America's Navy and Marines entered as a peacekeeping force. While the USS Maine was anchored in Havana Harbor, it suddenly exploded. Nobody knew exactly why, but radicals representing the high contracting powers started rumors that Spain was responsible, which ushered in the Spanish-American War. Years later, it would be revealed that the USS Maine had a lot of mechanical and arsenal problems and probably exploded accidentally. The European Royal 53 and elite didn't like or trust McKinley, and their response was assassination. Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th President of the United States, was a Republican, born into wealth and another strong, privileged personality, and was a team player to the European royal and elite. Roosevelt was an antagonist and was always flexing for a fight. He promoted a form of democratic socialism and constructed the Panama Canal in an attempt to involve America into the Russo-Japanese War. His involvement actually caused a peace, and he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Roosevelt supported the election of William Howard Taft, who subsequently succeeded him as the 27th President of the United States. William Howard Taft, the 27th President of the United States, was a Republican and team player to the European royal and elite. His domestic agenda involved busting up trusts designed to protect family fortunes and family businesses. He modified the civil service agencies to promote employee loyalty toward the federal government and promoted stricter federal controls over the postal system. He sponsored the 16th Amendment to the Constitution, which was for the adoption of the federal income tax, which was not a popular issue in the Republic. He became so involved in that matter that he completely let America's involvement in the Mexican Revolution slide right by him. Historians would later write that Taft showed great restraint, but the fact is that the 16th Amendment was more important to the royal and elite than a poorly financed civil conflict. When the 16th Amendment was submitted to the Republic for ratification, not one state government ratified it, and so President Taft and his cabinet devised a ruse, which involved the Secretary of the Congress. The secretary concealed the rejection letters in the basement of the Library of Congress and reported to the Congress and national press that a sufficient number of states had ratified the amendment. In reward for his administration, Taft was awarded a lifetime position on the United States Supreme Court. Woodrow Wilson, the 28th President of the United States, was probably the most intelligent and academic of all the presidents to have served in that position to date. He was a team player for the European royal and elite, and during his first term as president, 54 Wilson, a Republican, persuaded a Democratic Congress to pass major progressive reforms, which eventually set the stage for FDR and his New Deal. His agenda included the Federal Reserve Act, Federal Trade Commission Act, the Clayton Antitrust Act, the Federal Farm Loan Act, and the Federal Income Tax. Wilson also attempted to create the League of Nations, which was the predecessor to the United Nations, but he couldn't sell it to any of the major powers of the world. His Antitrust Act, which was intended to prohibit the formation of large monopolies, was actually a ruse to sell himself as the champion of the working class, and the Antitrust Act would secretly be revised some 8 different times throughout the century, which rendered it oblique and ineffective and aided in the future creation of large monopolies in America. The Federal Trade Commission created competition for American business and labor by promoting a greater number of imports into the United States from third world countries, in direct opposition to products being exported out of America. The Federal Farm Loan Act helped make the federal government a partner with all farmers whether they wanted it or not, and coupled with the income tax, eventually helped put most small farmers in America out of business. The first income tax was signed into law in operation and was secretly transferred into the pockets of the European royal and elite through the International Monetary Fund, by creating a branch corporation titled the Treasury. Most Americans just assumed that it was the United States Treasury and paid their taxes over to this foreign corporation pretty much without a fight. Americans never liked the idea of an income tax, and so the slave drivers utilized 2 techniques to force compliance. The first technique was to employ foreign IRS agents under the International Monetary Fund, who pretended to be government agents and who always demanded and took more than what was due, and pursued imprisonment for those who objected the loudest. The second technique was to rely on American patriotism to convince Americans that this was the cost of freedom and to willingly contribute their fair share. Another propaganda slogan that 55 was circulated at the time concerned the only guarantees in life were death and taxes. The Federal Reserve Act ushered in a new privately owned European corporation named the Federal Reserve System, which eventually removed the control of American coin and currency from the Congress using large personal bribes to members of Congress, and placed the minting of currency into the hands of a group of Sabbatean Jewish bankers based in Israel. The Fed subsequently controlled America's GNP, inflation, interest, and currency, and introduced their own private script money called Federal Reserve Notes. The Federal Reserve Notes were as worthless as scrap paper and is defined under the Uniform Commercial Code as negotiable debt instruments. Wilson is also responsible for the formation of the Electoral College, which virtually eliminated the power of the public vote. No matter what the popular vote, the persons designated as the delegates for the Electoral College made the decision as to what candidate won. Wilson was also the first president to introduce and promote the concept and belief that America was a democratic government, and all post-presidents, politicians, and the Department of Education promoted this concept thereafter. The political concept of democracy or demonocracy was just another form of communism. Jefferson and Franklin argued against a democratic government for America in favor of a republic for this very reason. I invite you to research the definition of the word democracy in any modern-day law dictionary if you doubt me. During Wilson's administration, a war broke out in Europe in 1914, which was promoted again by the European royal and elite. When the RMS Lusitania sunk on its maiden voyage from Liverpool, England to New York in 1915, elite instigators once again promoted a lie that a German U-boat attacked the ship and demanded American revenge against Germany. It wouldn't be discovered until some 70 years later that the Lusitania sank from either sabotage or from a flaw in one of the ship's boilers. Wilson committed American forces to the war, and the royal and elite made a small fortune in commerce. 56 Note: the Democratic Party was created by the Irish immigrants in New York City, and there was a growing dissension between the Republicans and Democrats. The Republicans were in control of the government, and their policies were aimed at breaking the unions and enslaving the public in debt. So when the Titanic was scheduled to take its maiden voyage from New York, and the published list of passengers revealed the names of so many of America's Republican political and business leaders, Democratic members from Tammany Hall arranged for the ship's captain to sink the Titanic, and the rest is history. The captain was actually dying from cancer, and his family was well provided for thereafter. The record of payments were discovered in the books of Tammany Hall, which began with a payment to the captain just before the Titanic's maiden voyage and continued to his spouse on a monthly basis thereafter. Harding, Warren G. Harding, the 29th President of the United States, was a Republican and an Ohio lawyer in private life. He ushered in a new threat to American liberty, scandal, and corruption with the Teapot Dome scandal, the Volstead Act or 18th Amendment of 1919, and the placement of high-ranking political appointments for his Ohio friends, named the Ohio Gang. The Teapot Dome scandal assisted the oil industry to increase their profits while eliminating competition, so that the American people were forced to pay a higher price for crude than would be necessary in a competitive market. Harding and several congressmen received personal benefits from the oil industry for their cooperation. However, this episode never eliminated corruption in government or commercial influence peddling by the oil industry, but to the contrary, the scandal exposed the mistakes they needed to correct and avoid in all future concessions. The Volstead Act helped to usher in the pre-Depression era prohibition of alcoholic beverages, which wasn't a government plan to begin with but eventually developed into one because of the opportunity it provided for government to capitalize on. Politicians decided to cooperate with the new women's temperance and suffrage movement in America, and other pious organizations of the time, that were intent upon eliminating alcoholic sales and consumption in America. Alcoholism was becoming a definite problem in America. However, these organizations were so 57 misaligned that they would have stoned Jesus Christ for changing water into wine. It wasn't the duty of the federal government to legislate morality in the states because in a republican form of government, each state is a separate and individual nation and are quite capable of regulating the demands of the public majority. Few states wanted anything to do with prohibiting alcoholic beverages, and so these groups decided to force their morality upon the entire country. Some state politicians were willing to pass prohibitions to save their political jobs, but none of them were willing to enforce them. The high contracting powers and the federal politicians, however, viewed this as an opportunity. Prohibition fit well into their slave driving techniques because such political expansion would require the increased jurisdiction of the federal government into the republic and the possible need to create a federal police agency, under the guise of protecting the American public from demon drink and the infamous criminals who were certain to evolve from the distillation and distribution of alcoholic beverages in violation of the 18th Amendment. Up to this point, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, was an internal investigation agency under the United States Attorney General. Agents could not carry firearms and they only investigated internal government employee complaints of misconduct and Indian affairs. A constitutional amendment was promulgated and forced upon the states of the Republic, which prohibited alcoholic beverages in America. Once prohibition was at its peak, the public began pounding on the doors of Congress to protect the public and enforce the law, which was exactly what the federal government hoped for, and the FBI was subsequently expanded and armed. Note, ironically, crime figures would become famous and revered by the public, and the federal government politicians would eventually become the biggest criminals of all via their new association and alliance with organized crime. Many of these organizations were employed to perform favors for the government, such as assassination, murder, and arson in return for profits and political protection. 58 This alliance would grow in time, wherein today, politicians control and finance all illegal drugs imported into the United States and organized crime controls the distribution. Local and federal police agencies tripled in size to enforce new drug legislation aimed at the drug pushers and users. They are redirected to eliminate government competition, all of which directly proliferated the public debt and the need to legislate new taxes to pay for the increased expense. It is kind of like watching a dog chase his own tail. The courts and lawyers helped to widen the gap in society with highly controlled juries, trials, plea bargaining, and poorly contrived judicial rulings that free the guilty, convict the innocent, and promote racial and religious indifference. The first rule in slave driving is to break up large unified groups into smaller manageable ones and then label them dangerous. These politicians, lawyers and judges are a very intelligent, persuasive, ingenious, and devious group of men in their own right, who hide behind the guise of representing the public's best interest and protection. They smile, shake hands, kiss babies, make speeches, and act very concerned about America's problems, which is all just a ruse. The only real difference between Hollywood and government politicians is the way in which they conduct their business. In absolute fairness, I must admit that on a rare occasion, an honest man or woman is elected to public office, and if they are incorruptible, they are rarely successful and/or they are eliminated. This may or may not be out of sequence, but Jimmy Hoffa, the famous president of the AFL-CIO labor union, disappeared and has never been found. Hoffa was collaborating with the U.S. government, the Vatican, and the Mafia in their drug trade venture. The U.S. government provided financing and used a corrupt branch of the CIA as a courier between the drug lords and America. Drugs were transported to New York on foreign ships, where the Teamster dock workers bypassed U.S. customs and unloaded the cash into tractor-trailer trucks driven by the Teamsters. Hoffa was responsible for delivery of the drugs to the New York mob and the distribution of funds. The U.S. government and the Vatican took the lion's share of the profits, and the Vatican Bank laundered the money for the entire enterprise. Hoffa was concerned that he wouldn't be able to replace the Teamster retirement funds 59 that he borrowed to finance his end of this enterprise, and when he attempted to steal an entire truckload of drugs, the Big Three ordered Mafia hitmen to dispose of him. Hoffa was placed alive in a body bag and buried in the concrete abutment of the George Washington Bridge, which was under repair at the time. A truckload of fresh cement was poured over him in the middle of the night, and the truck driver was paid $110,000 for his silence. This information came from the confession of a Mafia capo after he was exonerated of all past crimes by the federal government. Coolidge, President John Calvin Coolidge, was the vice president under Warren Harding, who had suddenly died in office. I don't know if Harding's death was truly from natural causes. It is more likely that Harding was assassinated. J. Calvin Coolidge was a Boston lawyer in private life. His job for the high contracting powers was simple: to clean up Harding's scandal and ensure that America lives and enjoys the high life. Coolidge frequently encouraged America to borrow, spend, and invest in the stock market like there was no tomorrow. The Bank of England manipulated the stock market, just as they do today, so that the average American enjoyed his greatest season of prosperity, just before the stock market crash, which occurred during Coolidge's re-election year. People were having such a great time that nobody took notice that federal politicians and the elite were liquidating their investments. Hoover, Herbert C. Hoover, the 31st President of the United States, was a Republican who was elected in the same year as the pre-planned stock market crash of 1929. He campaigned on the promise of a continuing prosperity in America until the market crashed and plummeted America into what has been described as the Great Depression. Hoover then changed direction and promised to get America out of its financial woes, and he won his election. Hoover was a mining engineer and author in his private life, and his job for the high contracting powers was to promote partnerships between government and business, which benefited the 60 government but accomplished nothing productively to assist or bail out America. As a result, he only served one term as president. His failure and the failures of Coolidge and Harding helped usher in the successful election of President Franklin D. Roosevelt, with his fireside speeches and his promise of a New Deal. FDR, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, the 32nd President of the United States, a Democrat, was not an honest man or any more honorable a president than the last three predecessors. Like most presidents, and political slave drivers, he was just better at selling it to the public. Roosevelt gave the appearance of bailing out America with the repeal of the Volstead Act, the creation of the Emergency Banking Act, his WPC and CCC programs, but in reality and behind the scenes, he was actually selling America down the drain and enslaving everyone with a duplicate version of the ancient Roman trusts. Roosevelt subsequently assisted the European royal and elite faction in the theft of America's gold and silver reserves and helped them to regain control over their deposed slaves. Lastly, he promoted unity between the congressional political parties with promises that there was enough power and wealth to be enjoyed by everyone. His new corporation, titled the United States, Inc., was a private corporation belonging to the European royal and elite, which would eventually be turned over to the control of the United Nations and their planned one world government. FDR had the American people in his back pocket, was elected to an unprecedented three terms in office, and planned on seeking a fourth term, which he was certain to win. This didn't set well with many Republican and Democratic members of Congress who wanted to modify the rewritten Constitution to restrict the presidency to only two terms. Like Washington, Roosevelt was contemplating becoming the first king of America after his fourth successful election to office. His 61 earned arrogance caused the high contracting powers and the Sabaudan Jews to lose confidence in him, and their collective response was to assassinate FDR and blame it on his battle with polio. They succeeded in carrying out this plan, which is why the president's coffin was sealed from public view. The undertakers of that time were incapable of concealing a bullet hole to the head, and so his coffin was sealed to cover up the actual assassination. I met the undertaker's son when I lived in Virginia, a man of 78, and he told me the whole story about how his family was threatened by the Secret Service with death, should Roosevelt's assassination be leaked to the press, and history was once again modified to suggest that FDR was a beloved hero and president who died in office from a long battle with polio. World War II. World War II was staged and financed by the European royal and elite. America's involvement in World War II was actually based in part upon the fact that the John D. Rockefeller and his oil empire owned all the oil rights in China. After the Japanese invaded China, Rockefeller approached President Roosevelt to demand that he commit American troops to protect his oil investments. Roosevelt and Rockefeller were members of the European cabal, and the other cabal members wanted America to enter the war. The American public was experiencing a period of isolationism, and they were totally against it. Roosevelt couldn't think of a way to involve America in World War II until Rockefeller's dilemma provided him with the answer. Roosevelt ordered his cabinet and chiefs of staff to devise a plan that would cause the American people to demand America's involvement in the war and demand retribution. His instruction was, "We have got to make it look like it was the other guy's fault." Here's what they did. The United States had contracts with the Emperor of Japan to supply his empire with gasoline and oil, and the first thing they did was renege on those contracts. President Roosevelt then met with the Japanese ambassador in private and delivered an ultimatum, that the Empire of Japan withdraw their troops from the Republic of China or Japan will suffer a military reprisal from the United States. 62. The expectation was that Japan would attack America. FDR reported to the press that the ambassador for Japan and the American government had just renewed and cemented their understanding and relationship. FDR ordered the 7th Fleet to leave their safe harbor along the Pacific coast of California for Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, which would place the fleet closer to Japan's reach. Most of the ships were so old that they were on a waiting list to be decommissioned and used for target practice. Several days later, a squad of independent pilots working for the Chinese government, flying P-40 Fighting Tigers, were marked with U.S. insignias and paid to attack Japan. FDR and the CIA were able to create a news blackout of this attack under the guise of national security. After the air attack, the Emperor of Japan and his military staff began making plans to retaliate against the United States, and since Hawaii was the nearest American territory, Pearl Harbor was attacked, and the rest is history. The U.S. government did everything they could to make things appear like the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor was instigated and based entirely upon Japanese aggression, but as I've explained, the American government has always been the bad guys and have always lied to the American public about how righteous and just they were in their judgment and behavior. On December 7, 1941, during the attack on Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt, Vice President Truman and all of the chiefs of staff mysteriously could not be contacted or located. President Roosevelt and the chiefs of staff knew the date and time of Japan's planned attack from radio communications that had been intercepted weeks before December 7. Our military intelligence had broken the Japanese code a year before this event and always knew what Japan was planning and doing. I recently read that the Japanese had decided against a ground attack on America because so many Americans own weapons, which is a good reason for America to continue to keep and bear arms. 63. The Queen of England, during the Second World War and during the Nazi aerial bombing of England, didn't anyone ever wonder why the Royal Palace was never hit with bombs? Well, we were all lied to by our government politicians and paid historians about the Queen, Winston Churchill, Roosevelt, and Adolf Hitler. They were all a part of the European criminal cabal. Queen Elizabeth addressed Adolf Hitler a/k/a, Baron Rothschild, as uncle, and the Queen made a call to the Chancellor of Germany, to beg her uncle not to destroy her royal palace. This is why Germany stopped its ground assault when they reached the English Channel, began an aerial assault and why no bombs ever fell on the Royal Palace. Winston Churchill and Adolf Hitler took their orders from the high contracting powers. Back in the USA, Henry Ford was mass-producing motors for Germany and George Herbert Walker, Scherf, Bush and his father-in-law were providing financing for Germany through their foreign banks. The Dulles family, of the Dulles International Airport in Northern Virginia, acted as the middlemen between the U.S. and Germany and provided Germany with air shipments. What couldn't be airdropped was shipped to a neutral country by the merchant marines, who never knew their freight was actually earmarked for Germany. Truman, upon the death, assassination, of FDR, Vice President Harry S. Truman was sworn in as the 33rd President of the United States. There were gold reserves that belonged to the Chinese royal family that had been stolen by Japan during their invasion of China and other gold reserves believed to be hidden by China in the Philippines. When the U.S. military failed to discover the gold, the European royal family concluded that the Japanese must have confiscated it and so instead of supporting General MacArthur, he was evacuated to Australia and the remaining Allied soldiers and Philippine people were sacrificed to increase the death toll and to teach the Philippine people not to lie to military intelligence. Shortly after Germany's surrender, Nazi scientists were repatriated into the United States to continue their work on jet airplanes and the atomic bomb. After the scientists perfected the A-bomb, the European royal faction gave Truman orders to drop it on Japan. The goal was to eliminate the Japanese royal family, increase the death 64 toll, and to force Japan to disclose the location of the gold they confiscated from China and the Philippines. Most of the gold was never found because the storage places in Japan, China, and the Philippines were very cleverly concealed. Shortly after the bombing of Japan, the National Security Council was visited by members of an Interplanetary Space Federation Council or UFOs, to inform them that the use of atomic weapons in their petty wars and disputes on Earth will not be tolerated again. If I happen to skip over any of your favorite presidents, like Madison, Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Eisenhower, Nixon, Johnson, Ford, Carter, or Clinton, it is not because they were exceptionally honest or good men. What I hope to reveal in this expose was how we Americans have been lied to and ripped off by the very people we revered and idolized century after century. The few good, the honest ones, were openly assassinated and the remainders who are still alive need to be hanged for treason. Of course that is just one man's opinion. George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st President of the United States, was actually born under the name of George Herbert Scherf, Jr., in Germany. Like his father, he served Adolf Hitler and the Nazi government as an SS naval officer. At the beginning of the World War II, he and Otto Skorzeny, an SS officer and assassin, were instructed by Hitler's chiefs of staff to arrange for escape routes out of Germany and Europe to South America by which Germany's elite soldiers and politicians could escape capture as a backup plan. The Nazi agency that Scherf, Bush, and Skorzeny created was assigned the acronym ODESA. Their headquarters was located in Buenos Aires, Argentina, with various plantation safe houses created in Brazil, Chile, and Uruguay. It was then decided that George Scherf, Jr., should take a new last name and that he learn to speak the English language like a native and armed with forged documents, he was to infiltrate the United States government. I don't know how he decided on the colonial family name of Bush but I can speculate on that one. 65 Bush and Skorzeny devised a plan to merge former Nazi SS officers and OSA officers into the CIA spy organization for the United States, which was a continuation of the Nazi 1,000-year plan. Air Force ace, Wild Bill Donovan and former SS officer, Alan Dulles became the CIA directors. Bill Donovan was being utilized to help sell the American public on the idea. After all, who can find fault with an American ace and war hero? George H.W. Bush became a member of the CIA and masterminded Operation Paperclip, which repatriated 155,000 Nazi soldiers into the United States after Germany's surrender and the only criteria for repatriation was what trade, experience or talent do you have to offer the government of the United States? Alan Dulles would eventually amass enough money through ODESA and the Bush family, to create the Washington/Dulles International Airport in Northern Virginia, and throughout World War II Allen Dulles would provide a link between American big business sympathizers and Nazi Germany. Much of the Red Cross supplies being shipped to Europe from the United States, and earmarked for the Allies, was diverted into Germany by the Red Cross to feed the German troops. George Herbert Walker Bush and his father, Prescott Bush, would also arrange for Hitler's continued financing during the war. Much of this can be documented by Googling, the Hitler/Bush connection. George H.W. Bush's identity, German name of Scherf, was only ever discovered during the deathbed confession of Otto Skorzeny, who also provided a series of Nazi photographs of the Odessa staff showing a young George, Scherf, Bush in every photo. I personally viewed these photographs and can confirm that Scherf is definitely George H.W. Bush. The Bush family currently owns a large plantation in Uruguay, which is extremely high-tech, partially underground and protected by CIA-trained soldiers. Operation Mockingbird Media Control. Prior to 1940, the Central Intelligence Agency developed a covert operation for the systematic takeover and control of the world's media titled Operation Mockingbird. If you Google the words Operation Mockingbird, you can read the entire plan for yourself. 66. This program corresponded with the Nazi 1,000-year plan for world domination and the Treaty of Verona of 1822, in which the high contracting powers agreed that a free press and any republican form of government was dangerous and should be abolished by every means available. The Congress adopted Operation Mockingbird, knowing full well what this plan involved and what they expected it to achieve. The CIA plan would begin in 1940, and by 1982 the CIA and Missing in Action, Military Intelligence Agency, controlled all media companies in America and currently censors the content of the news we may hear, censors movie content and censors what may be aired by all communication vehicles such as television, radio, internet and advertising, newspapers, magazines and periodicals. They even provide script suggestions to the Hollywood movie studios and every live theater. Much of the content of sci-fi movies that we believe to be the product of a vivid imagination are about 30-50% accurate, which is based upon the possibility of some twist of fate becoming true. Movie scripts like The Day the Earth Stood Still and War of the Worlds was presented to strike fear in the American public and shake their sense of security. It's all about slave driving techniques. The Illuminati are hell-bent upon making Bible prophecy come true and are responsible for much of the biblical-like devastation that has been occurring around the earth. The CIA and Missing in Action are also using the media to frighten and prepare us for a future exposure to highly technical devices, bombs, planes, 67 experiments, and machinery that have actually been in existence and operational for the last 30 to 40 years. Note: all media moguls and news reporters have been enrolled as members of the CIA and are subject to prosecution for treason should they violate any government censorship regulations. I highly doubt that anyone accused would be tried in public. The control of the media in all other countries became the responsibility of that country, but they all pretty much follow our CIA model. Many of our Hollywood movie stars are also participating members of the Illuminati. Still think America is free and believe in the freedom of the press? Think again. Roswell UFO crash. In 1947, an unidentified flying object crashed in the desert area of a small town in Roswell, New Mexico, which was near to a secret UFO underground installation and which began another giant cover-up by the U.S. corporate government. Increased sightings of UFOs resulted in the government creating Project Blue Book, which was designed to fabricate false explanations for any report of a UFO. By the time I was 21 years old, I found myself living in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is a couple miles away from Roswell, and as fate would have it, I befriended a local man in his mid-40s who witnessed the crash and debris. He and his best friend were Union Brick Masons driving home from work one evening when they observed what they believed to be a small airplane crash into the desert, and they responded to assist and render aid to any survivors. What they found was a damaged saucer-shaped craft, debris scattered for 100 yards by 50 yards, and the dead bodies of four small slender beings with oversized heads and large black eyes dressed in shiny gray suits. My friend picked up a piece of the metal skin from the debris field and discovered that he could crush it in his hand. However, when he opened his fist, the metal returned to its original shape with no trace of ever being crushed. 68 Some other people began to show up, including the sheriff's department, and last to appear was the U.S. military. The local sheriff wrote down everyone's name and address before they exited the scene, and about 1 week later my friend was visited by two government men dressed in black suits and sunglasses. They told him that he was to never talk about what he saw at the crash site and that he was to sign a pre-typed affidavit attesting that he saw nothing. My friend objected at first until the men exposed their sidearms and promised him that either his signature or his brains would appear on their affidavit before they exited his property. He signed it, never talked about it again, and began to drink more frequently to help him sleep. Note: it was revealed to me by very reliable sources that there are approximately 4 different extraterrestrial factions who have been visiting Earth on a routine basis for tens of thousands of years, but they normally use cloaking devices. I personally have never seen or met any of them, but I do not discount their presence. The increase in visual UFOs is deliberately being done to acquaint the people of Earth with the idea that interplanetary visitors do exist and have underground bases on Earth. It is human nature to panic first when something new, strange, or unknown is presented to man, but contact was not to take place for many years to come. 2012 is apparently the year that this is to happen. Think about this: our current civilization has survived roughly 10,000 years, and just in the last 1,943 years, man developed the atomic bomb, and in the last 60 years man has developed the space telescope, genetic research, drone airplanes, anti-gravity devices, cloning, microchips, computers, 3D television, cellular telephones, radar, Mach 24 stealth airplanes, saucer-shaped airplanes, mining on neighboring planets, fiber optics, night vision optics, lasers, bulletproof vests, nuclear energy, flex steel, satellites, and space travel. Most, if not all, of this technology was courtesy of those extraterrestrials that represent an interplanetary or federation of planets. According to my sources, America has had a scientific exchange program with these other civilized planets since the 1950s, and the Air Force has a secret branch of their service dedicated to interplanetary flight identified by the acronym F.A.C.E. We are 69 so far advanced in space exploration that the privately owned corporate branch called NASA is closing down the public space programs rather than expose their level of technology to the American public. One of the devices I referred to in the previous paragraph requires an enormous power source, nuclear, and operates by emitting high-frequency radio waves, which produces a force like anti-gravity. This device has been assigned the name acronym H.A.A.R.P, and it is also capable of controlling the weather, the tide, earthquakes, and volcanic eruptions. Many of the tsunamis, tornadoes, earthquakes, and volcanic eruptions that have occurred in the last 25 years were not all natural, but rather was the result of government testing of these HAARP devices, except for the tsunami in Japan and the 2011 earthquakes in Virginia and Colorado. All three were caused by bombs. Both of the earthquake-like locations marked an entrance to federal underground cities and a maze of tunnels that completely traverse the United States of America. And you wondered how the national debt became so large? JFK, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, and the murders of his brother Robert and son, John Jr., were actually performed upon the orders of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors and the European royal and elite with the blessing of the Queen and the Pope. JFK was a CIA-planned assassination using mafia hitmen, Rossellini and Sturgis, who shot JFK from a storm drain on the grassy knoll. The Secret Service or CIA agent driving the president's vehicle pulled his revolver and placed another shot into the president's head. The assassination is based upon the following circumstances: Robert Kennedy was the Attorney General under his brother John's administration, and apparently while making himself familiar with his new office, Robert discovered a plot adopted by Congress to undermine America through the Federal Reserve System. He showed this to President John F. Kennedy, his brother, who promptly issued 2 executive orders. The first EO directed the 70 U.S. Mint to begin printing United States silver certificates, and the second EO directed that the Federal Reserve building and system be dismantled within 6 months, and that the Congress was to resume its constitutional responsibility of coining and printing money. President Kennedy then flew to Hong Kong to meet with the elders of the Chinese royal family and successfully borrowed the silver and gold he needed to back the new U.S. currency. President Kennedy intended to expose this plot to all of America at his State of the Union address, but before the 6 months had expired, President Kennedy, like Abraham Lincoln, was assassinated. 10 days before his death, Kennedy wrote in his personal diary, "The high office of the president has been used to foment a plot to destroy American freedom, and before I leave office I must inform the citizens of this plight." JFK Lee Harvey Oswald, LHO, was a former CIA agent and was made a patsy for the assassination of JFK. Oswald shouted that very statement, just before Jack Ruby, a local tavern owner dying of cancer, killed Oswald before he could be tried. The Warren Commission, and all the congressmen appointed to the commission, knew about the plot, were equally responsible and did everything they could to cast aspersions upon the communists, the Cubans, and the mafia, using supposition as their only evidence rather than expose the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve, the CIA, the Secret Service, the Vatican, and the European royal and elite. According to a mafia capo, no one can assassinate an American president or congressman without the express permission of the Queen, the Pope, and the other high contracting powers. Evidence was altered, and the medical doctors who attended to the president and experts who recreated the assassination were instructed about what they were going to say and report to the public. They subsequently lied to the American public, under the threat of death. This is not the first time tactics like this have been employed by our government. This agenda is explained in detail in the 1979 Air Force Technical Manual, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, available on anticorruptionsociety.com. 71. It is my personal belief that what Attorney General Robert Kennedy had discovered was a copy of the Bretton Woods Agreement and the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Google, Bretton Woods Agreement and the Federal Reserve Act, to read about the whole insidious plot by the British Parliament and the U.S. Congress to undermine America. Senator Robert Kennedy was eventually shot and killed during his campaign for president for the same reason that got his brother killed. What we didn't know was that the gun held by Sirhan Sirhan contained blanks. The actual shots that killed Senator Kennedy came from another location by a trained sniper using a silenced rifle. Sirhan Sirhan was an impoverished immigrant who had been engaged to play the patsy for Senator Kennedy's death. JFK's son, Senator John F. Kennedy, Jr., reportedly died with his family in a crash involving his private airplane. The first newsreel photographs of John's plane, as it was being extricated from the ocean, revealed positive evidence that a bomb had exploded inside the cockpit. Those pictures aired only once and were confiscated by military intelligence, and all future news photos that aired were taken from a distance. The crash was ruled accidental, but the truth was sabotage and murder, and everyone was barred from inspecting the plane's wreckage. The Federal Reserve governors, the Rothschild and Rockefeller banking empires, decided not to risk the possibility of Robert or John Jr. possibly exposing their criminal plot to control America, nor could they risk that both Kennedys might be elected president. Following John F. Kennedy's assassination, the U.S. Mint was verbally ordered to cease the printing of silver certificates, and the certificates that were distributed into the public were slowly removed from circulation by the Federal Reserve banks and destroyed. Only coin collectors own any of them, and federal law now prohibits them from ever being recirculated. Those silver certificates can only be traded between collectors and are the only U.S. dollars in existence that have any real value. Last but not least, Barack Hussein Obama, 44th President of the United States Corporation, is not a natural-born citizen and in fact has committed 72 a fraud upon the American public. He was elected under an alias or assumed name. He was not born on a U.S. military base or installation, nor has he ever applied to be naturalized or ever petitioned to have his name changed, and his father never served as a soldier in World War II, at the age of 8. Obama's true birth name is Barry Soetoro, and he was born in Kenya, East Africa. He is a Muslim, an anti-Christian, a communist, a lawyer, a narcissist, and a liar. The best information that can be obtained indicates that Barack Obama and John McCain had been selected by the European royal and elite to fulfill their nefarious plan for the enslavement of the world and force upon humanity a one-world dictatorship, the final chapter of the Illuminati's plan. Don't be fooled, had the public voted for McCain, we would have received the very same treatment from him. In November 2011, Obama and all but six congressmen voted to repeal the Bill of Rights, and in February 2012, the same group repealed the 1st Amendment. The reason nobody heard about these events is because Obama ordered a news blackout of the event. Both incidents, however, were reported on the internet Natural News. Barack and the European royal and elite believe that our days are limited, but I have news for them, it is their presence that is limited. Note, Washington D.C. is a military-based, privately owned non-constitutional French corporation, which is at the seat of an illegal government entity called the United States, U.S., and not the United States of America, U.S.A. The legal control system established in Washington operates under British Maritime Admiralty Law of Flags, and the Queen of England is the monarch of America. Washington D.C. has a military mandate to stir up and to foment continual conflicts and wars globally. These artificial conflicts are intended to generate commerce and future business opportunities for the European criminal cabal's international corporations. The City of London is different and separate from the County of London. It is a privately owned square mile of ancient, non-accountable vested interests with its own private police force. It is 73% not a part of the County of London and has a Lord Mayor instead of a mayor. The City of London is the centre of global finance and is in charge of all the hidden piggy banks. The Bank of England controls the world's stock and commodities markets, coordinates tax avoidance schemes for major corporations, creates money out of thin air for the ancient royal bloodline families, and protects the interests of the London Crown Temple of the Illuminati. 11. Korea and Vietnam. Once again, these were civil wars instigated by the European royal and elite to further reduce the world's population and to stimulate commerce. They even make money off of the dead soldiers. The phony reason offered by our federal government to explain America's involvement in these conflicts is to stop communist aggression, but our political leaders never will admit that the United States government is a communist government too. The United States government defined these conflicts as police actions because we were never supposed to win and never had any business getting involved. In a declared war, the military can use all of their talent and weapons to defeat the enemy. 12. The European royal and elite were actually hoping to initiate a third world war with China or Russia by using these civil wars as the impetus. It was also projected by our federal government that every soldier sent into Korea and Vietnam would be killed, and they might have, if a truce had not been reached in Korea and President Nixon hadn't pulled our troops out of Vietnam in an attempt to save his own presidency. Do you remember when the Berlin Wall was dismantled? The media described the incident as, "Today communism fell without a shot being fired." Nothing could be further from the truth. The Berlin Wall was dismantled because communism discovered an ally in the West, and that ally was England, France, Italy, Greece, Canada, and the United States. 11. Confirmed by former insider John Christian. See the City World Conquest at anticorruptionsociety.com. 12. See alternate story. America loves peace? Odd, since we're always at war. 74. The American Bar Association. The American Bar Association is a lawyers' union, and its members are working in collusion with the European royal and elite to systematically undermine America. Bar attorneys are agents of a foreign power who swear allegiance to that foreign power, the Queen of England, which is why an attorney must file a written notice of appearance in every court case he represents. By that notice, the attorney is admitting to the court that he is a foreign agent and that he is requesting permission to represent you in that court. Did you ever wonder why attorneys display an air of arrogance about them and generally only associate with other attorneys? Well, it's because they are that arrogant and believe that they are superior. They rarely associate with non-attorneys because they all have something in common and could be executed for treason. Remember the proverb, "Birds of a feather flock together." Seems like a good object lesson for police officers to remember too. The same notice of appearance states that you have given your lawyer an irrevocable power of attorney, which is always used against your best interest. The lawyer cannot represent you without a power of attorney because he is a foreign agent. Lawyers will never admit this and will always contend that they are officers of the court, which means absolutely nothing. If you recall, the court has no jurisdiction over anyone until we give it jurisdiction by our consent. Contesting a suit, ignoring its process or by hiring a lawyer are definite ways to grant consent. Few attorneys will ever admit any of these shortcomings or will ever tell you the whole truth. Is it any wonder that Jesus Christ warned us not to trust lawyers or the money changers? If you hire a lawyer and give him your power of attorney, he will confess in his notice of appearance that the court now has jurisdiction over you and that you will abide by whatever demands and judgments the court imposes upon you. So much for winning any jurisdictional appeal. 75. The acronym BAR stands for British Accreditation System. All American lawyers, upon admission to the BAR, swear allegiance to the Queen and also swear to obey the laws of God. Therefore, all practicing members of the American BAR have violated their oaths by complying with and enforcing man-made legislation. They all have committed treason by utilizing America's courts when they have surrendered their citizenship and swore allegiance to a foreign monarch. All of their actions are about undermining America for money and position. Treason, greed, and fraud compounded by more fraud. The American BAR Association is actually a branch of the National Lawyers Guild Communist Party, 13, which can only be located in the hard copy printing of 28 U.S.C. 3002, Section 15A. The online version of Title 28 U.S.C. has been altered to read something entirely different, apparently because this fact has shown up in too many private court petitions and private memorandums of law. 13. See the bar card, anticorruptionsociety.com, source documents page 76 part 4 religion and law.